to open up the Word of God and to share a burden that God has placed on my heart. When Pastor John introduced me as Evangelist Paul Raines, I kind of heard some people chuckling. That's all right, Mrs. Myers. But I'm still getting used to that as well. And it is the truth, though, that I remember back in 2005 on a Monday night in revival meetings, God clearly made it clear in my heart the call to preach. And since then, I've felt like the Lord has leading me into evangelism. And the truth is, there's probably other young people out here who have the gift of the evangelist or the gift of the pastor. And God is still making it, you know, maybe some of them are too young and haven't heard his call yet. But I trust that's the case. And I guess, you know, not making too much of it, but I am thankful for this opportunity to preach. And I feel like the Lord has given me a definite burden for tonight. And I'm not glad that pastor's sick, but I am thankful for this opportunity to preach. So, Colossians chapter 3 is really where the drive of this message is coming from. Colossians chapter 3. Familiar verses, and trust that these will be a challenge to you tonight as we look at this subject, the eternal difference. Colossians chapter 3, if ye then, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Many of you know the name Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a well-known quarterback. He is the quarterback of the New England Patriots. I'm not sure when this interview was taken place, but I saw recently an interview of Tom Brady on the show 60 Minutes. And I'm not sure who the host is or anything, but whoever the host is was interviewing Tom Brady for a whole hour. And just, you know, he'd won 3 Super Bowls. Here's a man at the height of his career and had everything, so to speak, in life. And it was very sobering to hear some of the comments that Tom Brady made in that interview. Here he was, a man who had won 3 Super Bowls and, in essence, was at the top of the world. And Tom Brady made this statement. He said, "Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think that there is something greater out there for me?" Then he said, "Some people might think that I have it all. But I think there has got to be more than this." Obviously, if we're here tonight and saved, we know that what Tom Brady is missing is the truth of eternal life in Christ and salvation through him. But this is a man who is coming to grips with the reality that there's more to life than just the physical here and now. And as Christians, We need to come to that same reality. So often we get bogged down in the here and now. And this evening I'd like to just simply ask you a simple question. What will it matter 1 million years from now that you lived? Will anyone care that you lived? What eternal difference will your life have made, or will the fact that you lived have no impact outside of this life? Because we live in a culture that is driven by the here and now, many Christians have lost the reality of eternity. Christians have adapted the materialistic drive of our culture and have failed to see that the reality of eternity has been sacrificed on the altar of the temporal. Rather than becoming strangely dim, the things of earth have become the focus and drive of life. The love of money and the desire for material possessions have stolen the hearts of Christian young people. And in my message tonight, I'd like to look at 3 simple ways that your life can make an eternal difference. 3 simple ways that your life can make an eternal difference. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for this simple truth, and I pray that the Spirit of God would do the supernatural work that I cannot do in convincing each person here tonight of the reality of eternity. And Lord, I'm talking mostly tonight of Christians who know they're on the way to heaven and yet have lost the reality of eternity. They're living like this life is the most important thing. And so I ask that you would, in a supernatural way, meet with us tonight and show each person here the ways in their life that they are not living with the reality of eternity. I pray that you would grip us tonight with this reality. May we leave here with this reality burned into our hearts and read in with our lives changed. In Jesus' name, amen. If we are going to have a life that makes an eternal difference, then first of all, the reality of eternity must be remembered. The reality of eternity must be remembered. Turn over to Luke chapter 16. I know of no greater reminder of the reality of eternity than the reality of hell. The reality of hell. And if tonight we got a real glimpse of the reality of hell, I think our understanding of eternity would be, we'd have a greater understanding of eternity if we could just simply understand and keep the reality of hell in front of us. Here in Luke chapter 16, we all know the story of the rich man who in this life had everything, but in the next life had nothing. In this life, he lived prosperously. He lived in mansions. He had everything that he could imagine. Yet in the next life, he had nothing. In verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." At this moment in time, right now, that rich man is still crying out for a drop of water. He's crying out for someone to dip their finger in water and to dip it and to give him a drop of water. At this moment, he's suffering the torments of an eternal hell. The torments that every person who does not come to Christ as their personal Savior and put their faith in Him alone, they're going to suffer that same eternal torment. Friends, have we forgotten the reality of hell? We get so bombarded with the things of this world that we lose track that these people that we're dealing with are souls. Someday they're going to spend an eternity somewhere. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would be headed there. And maybe there's someone here tonight who you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. And I'm telling you that the reality of hell ought to grip us with the reality of eternity. Just as much as we are thrilled about the fact that one day we get to share the joys of heaven because we came to Christ as a lost sinner, that same reality ought to grip us and say, wow, there's souls out here. There's souls that we work with. There's souls that we come into contact who are going to spend an eternity somewhere. And the reality of hell ought to remind us of the reality of eternity. Just as much as hell, we ought to remember that the reality of eternal souls. We're dealing with eternal souls. We people we come into, they're not just people that annoy us and bug us and call us on the phone. They're people who have eternal souls. And thus we should be reminded of the reality of eternity. If the reality of eternity is real in our lives, and we remember these different things of the reality of eternity, then this reality will change our life. You know, if you can go through a day and not be gripped or think about the reality of eternity, there's a huge problem. You're Colossians chapter 3. You're definitely not seeking those things above. Your affections are set on things below. Because this reality ought to grip us every single day. Every day we ought to wake up and say, you know what? Eternity is for real. Life here on earth is not all that there is. I think it was Evangelist Gary Gilmore that I got this thing from. But he drew up on a sheet of paper, he drew a line from one end to the end or other end that went on in both directions. You know, obviously that's what a line is. And then he drew a dot. And the truth is, though, the line represents eternity, and the little dot represents our life. And you know what? The reality is that all of us have the tendency to focus our whole life on that little dot. Investment-wise, if you were thinking investment, it'd be foolish to focus all your life on that single little dot, because when you die, you ain't taking nothing with you. But that which you do for eternity, that which is done with the reality of eternity in mind, will last. So I'm going to ask you tonight, where is your focus? Is your focus on the little dot? Or is your focus on the line? Is your focus on the right here and now? Focusing on getting things that you can't even take into the next life? Or are you focused on eternal things? Things that will last forever? Things that will make an eternal difference? You know, 1 million years from now, you can get to that place and your life will matter if you live for eternal things. But if your life is focused on the right here and now, seeing how much money you can make, seeing how many things you can get, 1 million years from now, it will not matter that you lived. Those things will be decayed and gone. The reality of eternity. If we live with this reality, it will change our life. You know, if you're a school teacher, you're in the academy, every day you come into school, if you come into school with this reality on your mind, it will change the way you teach. If you work at Kids Club, it'll change the way you work with these kids. They're not just going to be annoying kids that that mess up and they goof off and they get out of control. They're not going to be that. You're going to understand, you know what? There's an eternity out here. And I'm not just focused on myself. I'm not just living for right here and now, just how everything influences me. But there's an eternal difference. When eternity is remembered, there is no bitterness worth holding on to. No anger that's worth not getting right with. Nothing is worth not giving up when we remember eternity. Think about it in your life. Are there things that you're holding on to because you have the right to them? But in eternity, it's going to make no difference whatsoever. Isn't it sad that we sacrifice things and we give up things that are for the right here and now? And then when something comes along, an opportunity to impact eternity, to change eternity, we say, I don't have the time for that. I can't give it up. But when eternity has gripped our souls, there is nothing that God could ask us to give up that we are not willing to give up. And so what is it tonight that's more important to you, that you're holding on to and you're saying, this is mine? And you're forgetting the reality of eternity. Why is it that there are so few young people going into the Lord's work? I'll tell you why. It's simple. They've forgotten the reality of eternity. They think life is all about themselves. How to get as much money. How to get as much material possession. How to get as much fame. And to be important. And to have a good career. And they've forgotten the reality of eternity. Why are churches changing? It's because they've forgotten the reality of eternity. It's all about right now. It's all about having the big crowd. I was just in Culver's today, and there was a bunch of church-going people there, and I heard them talking about this new church that has just started up. I think it's called Southbrook. And when they started, they had 150 people, and now they have over 800. And they were just saying, wow, what a great thing. I overheard their conversation. But you know what? They've forgotten the reality of eternity. Everything's about having the big church right now. And the gospel message is watered down and things are lost. Why do parents lose their focus for their kids? Why at one point do they have a focus for their kids and then someday down the road they say, ah, my kid needs to go make money? Why is it that they change and they say, oh, I want my kid to get into all these different things. I want them to be able to get a good career. And they lose the reality of eternity. Parents lose their focus for their kids because they lose the reality of eternity. Have we forgotten as a church the reality of eternity? I dare say our church would be a whole lot different if every single member constantly lived with the reality of eternity on their mind. But we get so enamored with all the things of the world, material possessions, having things more than being gripped by the reality of eternity. Have you forgotten about eternity? Have you forgotten about an eternal hell? Have you forgotten about eternal souls? Do you live each day with the reality of eternity? Tomorrow morning, when we each get up, when all of us get out of bed, the first thing on our heart ought to be that there's a real eternity. And ask yourselves, how will this day be different because of eternity? If we woke up every single day asking ourselves that simple question, how can I change eternity? How can I make an eternal difference in some person's life, in my child's life, in my coworker's life? How can I make an eternal difference? We'll start seeing God do amazing things through this church. But as long as we wake up each day focused on our jobs, focused on the things we've got to get done during that day, focused on our school, we're going to miss the reality of eternity and make no eternal difference. The reality of eternity must be remembered if we are going to make an eternal difference. Secondly, in order for our lives to make an eternal difference, the deceitfulness of the temporal must be discerned. The deceitfulness of the temporal must be discerned. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we see here the deceitfulness of riches. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, and every time I read this verse, I'm reminded in my own life, am I being deceived by riches? If we let this verse sink in, we'll be able to discern very quickly how deceitful riches are. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This, no doubt, is the number one reason, number one focus of unsaved people. They're living for material gain. They're living for riches. And it is undoubtedly the number one thing that keeps church-going Christians, keeps Christians in this church focused on the temporal. And it's the deceit of riches. The terrible thing about deceit and being deceived is that you usually don't know you're deceived. And I'm telling you, if we've lost the reality of eternity, there's a good potential that the deceitfulness of riches has creeped into our lives. And we're living for that. 1 Timothy 6:10 shows us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And people have erred from the faith. And people have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Tom Brady himself is a perfect example of someone who's pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He's supposed to have it all, but it doesn't bring satisfaction. You would think as Christians, we would have the right mindset. And this would never be a temptation because we have an eternal focus. But so often we're deceived by riches. Mark chapter 8 verse 36 says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? You know, that's true for an unsaved person. It's not worth gaining the whole world and dying going to hell. But you know what? The application can definitely be made. To us Christians, you can get the best job in the world. You can have all the material gain and yet make no eternal difference. You can gain the whole world and die unhappy. The deceitfulness of riches. Are you deceived by riches tonight? It's the Spirit of God tugging on your heart and saying, that's where you're being deceived. The deceitfulness of riches. You know, this can creep into a young person's life. It's so easy to get a focus and say, you know, I need to get that good job or whatever so I get that vehicle or whatever I want. The deceitfulness of riches. Included in that is the deceitfulness of material gain. How often we're driven by having possessions. But that is just deceitfulness. I'm not saying that if you have a great job, that's great. But if that great job or if that material gain or that money is keeping us from having that eternal focus, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? The deceitfulness of riches. I see also another great deceit in the Bible. And I trust many wouldn't be deceived by this. But the Bible says that there's a great deceit deceitfulness in beauty. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. I'm not going to park here, but that definitely can be a focus for some. Constantly looking at the next magazine to see how they can improve. Constantly looking to the world and saying, what can I do next to look better? The deceitfulness of beauty will take our eyes off the eternal things and put them on the temporal. The deceitfulness of good things. Oh, how Satan loves to get us focused on accomplishing good things. Doing great things, maybe even for the church, so that we can have a good name. Satan loves to get us focused on doing just good things, because if we can get focused on doing good things and lose sight of eternity, he has accomplished a great deal. Have you lost sight of eternity because of doing a lot of good things, and you're busy doing a lot of good things, and you've lost the reality of eternity? Maybe you work in some ministry here at the church. Maybe you do some great things and you're busy. Maybe you're in school. Maybe you're in college and you're busy doing great things for God. But you've lost the reality of eternity. If we lost the reality of eternity, it doesn't matter how many good things we're doing, because we're doing it for the wrong focus. The deceitfulness of youth can get our eyes off the reality of eternity. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, as young people, and I can relate to the young people here, I'm young enough, we can get this mindset, you know what? I have all of life ahead of me. I can serve God in the future. I can live for Him then. I can give up, or I can sacrifice for Him then. But right now, I'm a young person. And you know what? I've got a lot of things to do. I've got a lot of things to do, and so you miss the reality of eternity. Even as a young person, you can be gripped with the reality of eternity. Throughout history, we've seen young people who have changed the world because they got gripped and got a hold of the reality of eternity. Are you a young person here tonight and your focus is on the fact that you're young and you've got a long life ahead of you? You know, it's just a matter of having a good time now, coming in church, having friends, and you miss the reality of eternity. Is that you? The deceitfulness of youth. And you know what? Satan is so good because he can get old people. He can get middle-aged adults thinking, you know what? I got time left. I got some things to do right now, and I'm going to focus on accomplishing those. Maybe it's focusing on accomplishing, building up your 401k so you can prepare for retirement. I don't know what it is, but as middle-aged adults or even retired people, we can get our eyes off the reality of eternity because we say, oh, we got more time. And God says, remember now thy Creator. The deceitfulness of the temporal must be discerned if we are going to make an eternal difference. If our lives are not making an eternal difference, it is a result of being deceived by the temporal. If we're going through life and we're not changing lives, our young people aren't being changed, the people we come into contact never are changed, it's because we have a temporal focus and we are being deceived. Being deceived by the temporal comes with great consequences. And these consequences must be considered if our lives are going to make an eternal difference. We first of all saw the reality of eternity must be remembered. The deceitfulness of the temporal must be discerned. And thirdly, the consequences of temporal-mindedness must be considered. The consequences of temporal-mindedness must be considered. Christ commands us to set our affections on things above. We saw that in Colossians chapter 3. If we are not setting our affections above, then we at the least are breaking His commandment. But friends, there's so many more greater consequences for having a temporal-minded life. The first great consequence that I see for having a temporal-minded life is that people are put in hell. People will spend an eternity in hell because of your temporal-mindedness. We forget that people have souls and don't care that they do. A few weeks ago, I was in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania, And of course, many of you know I traveled with the war special forces. We'd go into Christian schools. And this particular Christian school had many, many needs. In fact, in this body of Christian school kids, 7th to 12th graders, there are several young people who openly admitted that they were unsaved. They were willing to tell in the locker room that I'm unsaved and I don't care that I'm saved. I'm not saved. And there was a great many, many burdens and needs in that Christian school. But you know what it came down to simply was that the saved people, the saved young people in that Christian school had forgotten the reality of eternity. They laughed at the same jokes that the unsaved people laughed at. And to the unsaved people, there was no difference. Christianity was a joke. Because these young people had forgotten the reality of eternity. They thought their life on earth was just to have a good time. And to enjoy the pleasures of this life. And forgot the reality of eternity. I wonder how many family members or relatives or people that we come into contact are one day going to spend eternity in hell because of our temporal mindedness. You run into contact with them all the time. They know you. They see you do things that are no different than them. You have the same passion, the same drive of life to make money, to have possessions. And they say, well, what's the difference? It's not worth it. Why should I live like them? And then when they're doing the same thing I'm doing. And they see no difference in our lives. They see the fact that they have the same purpose in life that I do. They just go to church on Sunday. And they just live, they just say certain things and do certain things. But in reality, there's no difference. And that temporal mindedness of our lives will send people to an eternity in hell. Do the people that you work with, the people that are in your family that maybe aren't saved, do they know that you have an eternal drive? That there's something more in your life that's worth living for than just the temporal? Or do they see you as that person that's just, they're about the same thing I am. Having a good job, having possessions, having a good name, raising a good family. That's what the unsaved, many good unsaved people want that too. And the difference is the reality of eternity. People will be put in hell because of our temporal mindedness. Perhaps there's even people that are in hell this day because of our temporal mindedness. We fail to see eternal souls. We fail to see the reality of hell. And we live like everything was right about here and now. No reality of eternity. No reality of hell. What a great consequence that the blood of unsaved people will be put on our hands because of our temporal mindedness, our unwillingness to surrender whatever it may be. There's nothing worth holding on to that will take our focus off the reality of eternity. Another great consequence of temporal mindedness that we must consider is that we will be willing to sacrifice eternal things for the temporal. My mind immediately went to Jacob and Esau. Esau was willing to give up his birthright, a spiritual thing, for a temporal bowl of soup. How often do we do that in our lives on a day-to-day basis? I dare say that some of us do it on a day-to-day basis. We live life focused on right here and now. And so we sacrifice eternal things. Some of us sacrifice our kids. You say, I've got to have this, I've got to have that. And I don't care. My kids don't need to see me having eternal focus. And so you sacrifice your kids because of your temporal mindedness. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. I wonder, maybe there's some things right now that you're giving up, your sacrifice. There are eternal things that you're giving up because you have a temporal-minded focus. Your children will be temporal-minded if you have a temporal-minded focus. What a great consequence to one day stand before an almighty God who put into your care children. And their life, all they had was an eternal focus because all they saw in mom and dad, a temporal focus, because all they saw in mom and dad was a temporal focus. Mom and dad sacrificed so that they could gain temporal things. Mom and dad gave up eternal things so that they could have things right here and now. Your children know what's important to you. Your children know if coming to church on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night is a chore. Your children know what your focus is. If all your children know of you as being a TV junkie or focused on your job and having things, how do you expect them to one day have an eternal focus and a passion and a drive for souls? Can you really expect that? You can't. Parents, you have a great responsibility. And one day, I challenge you, don't be grieved because you were living for temporal-minded things. All your life was about right here and now. And you sacrificed your children. And so they live wasted lives. All because of parents who were focused on the temporal-mindedness. Look, you can come to this church. And you can do great things for God. And have a temporal focus. And your kids will pick up on it. They'll have the same temporal focus. They'll have the same passion and drive that mom and dad have. Mom and dad, it is a big deal if your kids lose the reality of eternity. Think of it, though, if you're, as parents, you got the reality of eternity burned in your soul, and there was nothing more important than lost souls. There was nothing more important than the truth, than the local church. And that became your drive and making an eternal difference every day of your life. Do you think your kids would catch on? Pretty soon your young people would be getting a passion for the same exact thing. They would have a heart for souls. They would spend time in prayer. As long as mom and dad are focused on doing good things and never willing to sacrifice for eternal things, your young people will turn out the same way. If you're not a dad who is a man of prayer, don't expect your young people, your children, your boys, to be men of prayer. If you're a mom who is the best shopper in town and knows how to get all the great deals, and that's great, and your focus is that, or your focus is on some other temporal thing, beauty, don't expect your young girl to have an eternal focus where she's willing to give up everything and go over to the mission field and sacrifice everything for God. You just can't expect it. There's a great consequence for temporal-mindedness. And one of them is that you will lose your children to temporal-mindedness as well. They'll make no eternal difference. The fourth great consequence that I see as a result of temporal-mindedness is that you will make no eternal difference. What a shame it will be to one day wake up in eternity and realize that the eternal was all that mattered. And you did nothing or very little that made an eternal difference. You know, you might say, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, I'm going to be focused on doing good things. I want my kids to turn out. I want to, you know, to serve God with my life. And you can say, but having a passion about the eternal things is not that big of a deal. Making an eternal difference is not that great of a deal. But friends, I'm telling you, one day, there's going to be a day when you're standing before God, just you standing before God, that's going to be all that mattered. It's not going to matter what kind of car you drove. It's not going to matter what people thought of you in this church or at work. It's simply not going to matter. It's not going to matter how much you have in your 401k or some retirement fund. What's going to matter is the eternal difference that you've made. And one day standing before God, and you have nothing or very little to cast back at His feet, you're going to realize that all that really mattered was the eternal things. Most often there is something in our life that has to go if we're going to get the eternal focus back. If we've lost the reality of eternity, if we've come to a point in our life and we say, you know what, the eternal thing is not that important, and we get our life focused right here on the now, here and now, and we get focused on everything in this life and forget eternity, most often it can be pointed back to a specific thing in our life. And so what I'm trying to say is that there's probably things in our lives that are taking our eternal focus. Mom and Dad, there's probably something in your life. If you're wondering why your children are having any eternal focus, and they have this passion for the things of the world, maybe there's something in your own life, an area of temporal mindedness that you're holding on to and unwilling to surrender or give up. And God's asking for that tonight. He wants our lives to make an eternal difference. And so if something robs us of our eternal focus, is it really worth keeping? Investment-wise, just think from an investment standpoint. It's not worth keeping. One day you'll stand before God, and all eternity you'll have very little from this life. You might have everything now. You may have gained the whole world, but you'll have nothing then. What a shame. A few weeks ago, I remember one girl in my team. I preached a message similar to this to my team, and I remember her saying that the thing that was robbing her of the eternal focus was, number one, sports and academics. And my point is simply that there's areas in our lives that have robbed our focus of eternal things. And we begin to live focused on that. And we lose the eternal focus. What is it in your life tonight that is robbing you of that eternal focus and causing you to not make an eternal difference? What is it in your life that God is simply asking you to turn over to Him? Maybe it's some relationship problem. Maybe it's something at home between mom and dad. And if we got the reality of eternity back in our lives, we would say, you know what, that's not worth holding on to. It's not worth coming and having that grudge. It's not worth having that that spirit against someone else. Because in the reality of eternity, it doesn't make a difference. Is there an area in your life tonight that God is asking you to give up so that you can have a greater focus on eternal things? Is there an area that you, as a parent, need to give up so that your children can have a greater eternal focus? Are you willing to give that up tonight? God wants us to make an eternal difference. He didn't put us on earth just so that we could know for sure we're on our way to heaven and live the Christian life focused on the here and now. That's not why He did it. He saved us so that we could first of all glorify Him and make an eternal difference. And that eternal difference can be made tomorrow on the coffee break at the workplace. That eternal difference can be made tonight on the car ride home. Maybe a dad needs to sit down with his boy and say, you know what, I've had the wrong focus in my life. And I've been leading you the wrong way. And I want you to know that from this point on, my life is going to have an eternal focus. Maybe a mom needs to sit down with her girl and say, I've been leading you the wrong way. The reason why you have no focus on eternity, the reason why you're driven by success or whatever, is because of me. And many times, that's the case. Are you willing to give up whatever it is so that you can make an eternal difference? God wants your life to be made, to be making an eternal difference. And tonight, lives can begin to do that. You can begin to have a life that makes an eternal difference. And you can see the joy that comes back into your life when the reality of eternity grips our soul. When we see souls set free. When we see lives that are in bondage unchanged. Unchained and set free, it brings a joy that living for temporal things cannot bring. So my simple challenge tonight is, are you living a life that makes an eternal difference? If you want to live a life that makes an eternal difference, you first of all have to remember the reality of eternity. You must discern between the deceitfulness of the temporal, and you must consider the consequences of temporal mindedness. What is it that God wants you to give up so that you can make an eternal difference? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you tonight. that our lives can make an eternal difference. That you living your life through us can change lives for all eternity. God, I'm asking you tonight that you would awake this church to the reality of eternity. Awake each person here tonight who has forgotten the reality of hell, the reality of eternal souls. Would you grip them tonight of the reality of eternity? Those who have a temporal-mindedness focus, would you grip them tonight once again with the reality of eternity? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe God's working in your heart tonight. And He's asking you to give up something so that you could have a greater eternal difference. Maybe you're here tonight and just simply by a raise of hand you'll say, God is working in my heart and showing me there's something I've got to give up so that my life can make an eternal difference. If that's you, would Jesus simply raise your hand? Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're a parent here or a young person and you've had a temporal-minded focus. And you're realizing tonight that's not worth it in the grand scheme. Eternity is more real. Eternity is what I need to be living for. And you say, you know what? My focus has been off. And tonight, I'm willing to get back living with an eternal focus. Just by uplifted hand, is there anyone here tonight that would say, that's what God has showed me tonight? Just simply raise your hand. All right. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you would just continue to work and that you would help people to go all the way with God, that they wouldn't hold back anything that will keep them focused on the temporal. Lord, would you do a great work in hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the pianist to...